Welcome to Good Shepherd Episcopal Church in Venice, Florida. Today is Sunday, July 16th, the seventh Sunday after Pentecost. Father Joe Hudson's sermon today is entitled, Am I Receptive to the Deep Mysteries of God? Today he challenges us to ask ourselves several questions. How receptive are we deep down in the core of our beings? How receptive are we to the profound, deep, confounding mysteries of God? Take a minute to ponder that. Jesus tells the parable of the seeds being planted on different types of soil. The soil represents each of our lives and how open we are to the mysteries of God. What influences might hinder us from being receptive, might keep us from listening to God? How can we have God-blessed eyes, eyes that are open to see God's deep mysteries? How can we have God-blessed ears, ears that are open to hear the unfathomable riches of Christ? Will you seek it out? Will you hunger and thirst for it? What books or studies might you participate in or read that challenge you and stretch you and sometimes make you uncomfortable?
The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to Matthew. Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed some fields, some seeds fell on the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and they sprang up quickly, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Let anyone with ears listen. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, this is what was sown on the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet such a person has no root, but endures only for a while. And when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, that person immediately falls away. As for what is grown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the lure of wealth choke the word, and it yields nothing. But as for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of the Lord.
Blessed Jesus, at thy word we are gathered all to hear thee. Let our hearts and souls be stirred now to seek and love and fear thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I know it's early in the morning to throw a question your way, but I'm going to do it anyway. Here's my question. Am I receptive? Are you receptive to the deep mysteries of God? Jesus addressed this question in today's gospel reading. The Apostle Paul, as well, wrote to a young church in the city of Corinth and spoke of it this way. We speak words given to us by the Spirit, but people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it. Paul was writing to his brothers and sisters in Christ, telling them that the Holy Spirit was speaking to them, speaking words that to some among them seemed like nothing more than absolute nonsense. God's words of deep mystery and transformative power, words that are meant to shake and realign the very foundation of our human story. And some, sadly, just don't get it. Jesus speaks similarly to his disciples in today's reading, telling them, "You are permitted to understand the mystery of the kingdom of God." The ways and words and thoughts that come from the Spirit of God are a deep and unfathomable mystery to the minds and hearts of mankind. These words that often cut across the grain, they are often paradoxical and seemingly contradictory. Here are just a few examples as spoken by Jesus. If you want to save your life, you must lose it. He who desires to come first will end up last, and those who choose to take last place will end up first. Love your enemies. I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, and you are in us. If you do not eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in me. You see, there are many strong, sometimes confusing words, hard mysteries. Here's how God says it through the Old Testament prophet Isaiah. "My thoughts are not like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts." God's thoughts, his mysteries, are very different than how society thinks and tends to operate. You see, the structure of the natural human family or a local business or even the church may frequently operate very different than how God and God's mysteries operate. So today, I want each of us to ask ourselves this question: how receptive am I to the thoughts and words and actions of God? But we may not want to be too quick in responding before searching our minds and hearts and actions. If I were to engage in such a personal search, I would need to ask, "Joe, is there anything in me that is out of alignment with these deep mysteries and truths from God?" And the answer undoubtedly will be, yes, there is. As I look at my upbringing and my education and years of experience in life and faith and religious activities, it can become easy for me to subtly believe that because of my broad and diverse experience, that I do see things perfectly clearly, that I'm not closed off to some of God's wisdom and truth. But is that accurate? Is it possible that there are blind spots in my life? And the answer is, yes, it is most likely true. So how clear is my spiritual vision? How clear is yours? Jesus was often found shining the light of God's truth into people's lives, and frequently it was the lives of the religious leaders of his day. He once spoke to them, calling them blind guides. Think about that image for a moment. Blind guides. Imagine yourself following a seasoned, well-experienced guide along a treacherous backwoods path with occasional steep drop-offs. When you hired the guide, you put your trust in their knowledge of the terrain. You believed that they would never consider leading you astray. But then imagine that that seasoned guide, without even knowing it, was in fact blind as a bat. Well, out the window goes your trust in that guide. It is important that we put our trust in guides that are experienced, knowledgeable, clear-eyed, spiritually discerning and wise, whether they are pastors or teachers or conference speakers or authors, it is important for me as a religious and spiritual guide to be alert and awake and have clear vision and to be always open and receptive to understanding and grasping ever greater depths of the mysteries of God. The book of James in the Bible speaks of these spiritual guides. He says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church, for we who teach will be judged more strictly." You see, pastors, clergy, priests, deacons, lay teachers, all have been given a great responsibility. We are tasked with being seasoned guides, with knowing the spiritual terrain, with genuinely caring for the sheep, with leading the flock towards greater and deeper levels of spiritual maturity and understanding and wisdom. The work of discerning the deep mysteries of God holds many challenges. As we minister and teach and lead ourselves and each of you, we face each person with their own unique religious and spiritual and cultural and social and educational background and understanding. Each person who, yes, just like me, has their own unique blind spots. We are all called by God to open our eyes to these blind spots, to those things that hinder our vision, and to be open to greater awareness, open to deeper levels of understanding and engagement in the mysteries of God. You and I may think that we are receptive and open to all the deep mysteries of God, but how receptive are we really? Maybe you are, and maybe you're not. In today's gospel, Jesus tells a story that addresses this issue of receptivity to the deep mysteries of God. He uses the imagery of seeds and soil. The seeds being the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the soil represents each of our lives and how open we are to these mysteries and what influences might hinder us from being receptive, might keep us in blindness. Jesus told a story and its interpretation in today's gospel. The story is of a farmer who went out to plant seed in the soil. The farmer was shockingly very indiscriminate and extravagant in his spreading of the seed which was the good news of God's love and mercy and forgiveness and deep mystery. As Jesus told the story, the farmer reached into his bag and extracted handful after handful of seed and tossed each one willy-nilly this way and that, here and there and everywhere. No patch of earth was devoid of seed. Some of the seed fell on a footpath that was hard packed. Some seed fell on soil that was very shallow on top of rocks. Some seed fell among weeds. Some seed fell on soil that was good and soft and deep. It didn't matter to the farmer where the seed landed. He scattered it everywhere in his abundant, extravagant love. He didn't care if some of the seed would not be welcomed into that soil. He gave each and every patch of soil the opportunity to receive his seed. This story is told in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9, as Deacon Michael read this morning. And then Jesus interprets the story in verses 18 through 23. If you notice, there are eight verses in between that are skipped over. I'll get to those eight verses in a little bit. Jesus interprets the story this way when he was alone with his disciples. The seed that fell on the footpath represents those who hear the message about the kingdom and don't understand it. Then the evil one comes and snatches away the seed that was planted in their hearts. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with great joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among the thorns represents those who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of this life and the lure of wealth, so no fruit is produced. The seed that fell on good soil represents those who truly hear and understand God's word and produce a harvest of 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as had been planted. It is Jesus' desire that each of our minds and hearts and souls would be like this good ladder soil here, open and receptive to what God wants to plant there. But there are things in our lives that hinder us from being receptive to the deep mysteries of God. For some people, God's message, God's mysteries just don't speak to them. They don't understand it, so they ignore it and carry on with their ordinary lives. For others, the seed of God's mystery is just barely below the surface of their lives. They initially receive it with great joy, but then because it is not planted deep in their soul, as soon as challenges or struggles come in life, they simply drift away. For others, they receive the seed, but then worries of or wealth or the allures of this world choke out what has been planted. Then there is a kind of soil that is rich and soft and receptive to receive the seed of the mysteries of God. These individuals allow the seed to grow and multiply in their lives. We all, when we are unwilling to stretch and grow and be challenged and see in new ways, we are like unreceptive soil. When children are young, they only understand things concretely. Parents, you know that, don't you? But as they mature, they begin to grasp abstract concepts. The Apostle Paul speaks of this in a spiritual sense when he says this: "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child, but when I grew up, I put away childish things." For me, when I was young in the faith, and young in the faith for me was in my early 20s, I was part of a Christian belief system that nurtured me, and along with that, held that every verse and story in the Bible was meant to be understood literally. Jonah had indeed been swallowed by a whale. Moses alone wrote the first five books of the Bible. But as I grew and tried to be open, I eventually started questioning what I had held to be true. Sometimes changing my thinking and understanding was extremely difficult. It felt like starting down a slippery slope towards hell from which there was no return. And I'm not speaking hyperbolically here. At one crucial juncture, I had been reading an author that I deeply respected, whose writings had been challenging me to see things differently. But if I accepted what he said, it felt like I was abandoning my faith. I was starting down that slippery slope towards hell from which there was no return. Well, in desperation, I reached out to the author in an email explaining my struggle. And surprisingly, he emailed me back, telling me that as long as I was honestly and faithfully seeking after the heart of God, God's love would hold me tight. God would not lead me astray. That email was the permission that I needed to continue down into even further deep mysteries of God. Now, let me turn and comment on those eight verses in the gospel that were not mentioned today. In those verses, Jesus went on to contrast those who are not receptive to the seeds of God's mercies with those who are receptive. He said this, and I read from the Message Bible: "Whenever someone has a ready heart for these mysteries, the insights and understandings flow freely. But if there is no readiness, any trace of receptivity soon disappears. In their present state, they can stare till doomsday and not see it, listen till they're blue in the face and not get it. I don't want Isaiah's forecast repeated all over again. Your ears are open, but you don't hear a thing. Your eyes are awake, but you don't see a thing. The people are blockheads." Hey, he said it, not me. "They stick their fingers in their ears so they won't have to listen. They screw their eyes shut so they won't have to look, so they won't have to deal with me face to face and let me heal them. But you have God's blessed eyes, eyes that see. And God blessed ears that hear. May you and I have God-blessed eyes, eyes that are open to see God's deep mysteries. May you and I have God-blessed ears, ears that are open to hear the unfathomable riches of Christ. May you seek it out. May you hunger and thirst for it. May you read books and attend studies and discussions that challenge you and stretch you, and yes, sometimes makes you downright uncomfortable. May we all be good soil. Amen.